and welcome to the Daily Dits podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Mitchell. It's Tuesday, the 21st of July. And if you're new here, Daily Dits is your daily slice of Forces life. And on today's episode, we're heading to sunny Cyprus. Get your sun cream at the ready, because our very own Will Hollis has been busy over there with the Princess of Wales Royal Regiment. So let's hear all about it on the pod today. BFBS Forces News. Will Hollis, how are you doing, my love?
Hello, Lauren. I'm super excited to be here making my Daily Dits debut.
Daily Dits debut, the triple D. How are you feeling? Are you nervous? Are you excited?
Do you know what? I love trying a new thing. Especially with BFBS Radio. I feel like we're on different sides of the office at some points, different sides of BFBS, but when we come together, magic happens.
It does indeed. Now, before we get into the good stuff about what it is that you've been up to, can you just tell me a little bit about what it is that you do, what you do in Cyprus? Give us the details.
So I'm the Cyprus reporter, so I work here at RAF Akrotiri for BFBS, working alongside the radio team. Instead of being behind the microphone presenting, I go to anywhere around the island, whether that's the Western Sovereign Base area or the Eastern Sovereign Base area, to Nicosia, where there's the UN, and I do the stories about the people that are deployed or posted to those areas. So that could be an exercise, it could be something operational, it could be a community story or sport. But wherever you see me, you'll see me in a baseball cap with my camera.
And the baseball cap with your camera. People need to look out for Will Hollis.
They can see me from a mile away.
That's good, that's good. Always helpful. But what is it that you've been up to recently?
Well, just like you said, Cyprus is sunny a lot of the time, but especially during summer, it gets super hot, so there isn't as much training and things wind down. But the Princess of Wales's Royal Regiment is about to head back to the UK, so they have been doing some very important training. They've been doing counter CBRN training because they're about to rejoin the field army as a part of 4 Brigade.
So what does CBRN stand for again?
It's a little bit of a tongue twister. It stands for Chemical, Biological, Radiological and Nuclear. So this is particularly targeting those sorts of threats. And B Company in particular has been assigned to 4 Brigade's Counter CBRN Readiness Protection Group. And when you add all of that together, with all of the words in there, it is a big tongue twister. 4 Brigade's Counter Chemical, Biological, Radiological, Nuclear Readiness Protection Group. And I tried to say all of that on camera in a piece to camera, and I had the battalion around me watching, about 10 members of the unit, and I just couldn't get the words out. There's nothing more embarrassing to a journalist than doing a bad piece to camera in front of the people that you're trying to look professional before.
Hey, I've been there. I've been there and done that and got the t-shirt, and that is a tongue twister. And it sounds like a group that you don't want to mess with either.
Exactly. In infanteers, you know how tough they are. And when you look like you can't do your job, you just want to swallow into the ground.
So, Will, what did the training look like?
Well, this is a Episcopi garrison where the battalion lives. And if you think about chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear training, the first thing that will come to your mind is gas masks. So the units were wearing gas masks and they had big gloves on, and they were part of a chemical survey team. They were going across an old helicopter landing pad, so concrete ground, and some of the members of the survey team had long poles that they were using with detector paper to drag the poles along the ground, detecting a chemical. While their teammates behind them, they had a chemical agent monitor, a CAM device, and they were swinging it just above the ground, detecting for chemicals. And all of this was because they were training in a very important serial so they could be validated to actually go out to areas where there might be a chemical spill, whether that's civilian or in wartime. And one of the people that was there was the tactical training instructor, Corporal Mark Obrey.
The exercising troop have been informed that there's been a chemical spillage, and they've been informed that they need to go and conduct a chemical reconnaissance. They started off on vehicle, they then hit a checkpoint where they was instructed to go out on foot, and they essentially are trying to find a route in to that area so we can find and confirm what sort of chemical it may be. Once it's found and confirmed, we look to punch in another team, which will be a chemical survey team. They will then essentially create a boundary around the chemical spillage in order to stop anyone going around that hazardous area.
What's it like doing this training out in the heat?
It's good, beneficial training. We've been out here for a while, so we are quite acclimatised. Obviously, we have to take different sort of limitations into account. So normally, even in a bit of a colder environment, if we was in the UK, we'd like to be in Cat State 4, which would be the full PPE, CBRN suits. However, due to the weather conditions out here, it's quite hot, obviously, as you can tell. We have to take sort of precautions in place. So we're just doing this in a clean fatigue with respirators on and haversacks attached.
Now, Will, maybe this is naive of me to think of this, but when I think of things to do with chemicals and spillages and things like that, I don't picture the military being there to sort it out. I picture like the police and the CSI guys and those kinds of people. So I guess this is kind of blowing my mind a little bit because my brain didn't make that connection.
Yes, well, chemicals are readily used across all parts of society, in manufacturing, in farming. But when chemicals are used as weapons, it becomes a very serious and prohibited thing. So there's something called the Chemical Weapons Convention, and that bans using chemicals in warfare. When you think about using chemicals in warfare, most people would think about the First World War and the trenches, where around 90,000 people were killed by things like mustard gas and chlorine. And after that, because it was such a devastating way for people to die in warfare, the countries that came out of the First World War and the Second World War decided that they were going to ban it. And 98% of the world's population lives under this rule of you don't use chemicals in warfare. But we know that right now, chemicals are being used in Russia and Ukraine in that conflict, something called chloropicrine, and that's been identified by the Americans and different European agencies. So there is a very close connection between the military, particularly our military, and how they train for working in these sorts of environments. Because if there was a spillage in a regular domestic setting in a city or a town, it would be the military, people like B Company and 1PWRR, that would be assigned to go and deal with it. But also, right now, in 4 Brigade, they will be doing that role in operations in the future, especially on places like the eastern flank. I heard a little bit more from 2nd Lieutenant John Hatton, the 4 Platoon commander, about what the unit is doing there.
Within 4 Brigade, if any CBRN threat were to arise, whether that's within the UK domestically or in a combat area, we would then move into that location and provide that force protection to allow the specialists to conduct their job. The activities that you can see behind us and that are being conducted over the last week and a half will be all sort of CBRN force protection activities, including chemical recces, chemical surveys, decontamination lanes, and then ultimately dealing with human remains. So what that means for us is that whilst we're not the specialists in this role, what it does allow us to do is find that threat, beat the bounds, find out the location of where that's going to be and where it might spread to, and allow the specialists to conduct their role.
How does B Company feel being chosen for this task?
So it's a great opportunity for B Company. Obviously, we're moving back to the UK to join 4 Brigade, and it's a fantastic opportunity for us to really embed ourselves within there and provide a valuable service to the rest of the wider army.
When you're talking about chemicals, biological weapons, what is it specifically the kind of threats that you guys are considering?
So throughout this whole process, and as we can see from Ukraine at the moment, the threat of chemical warfare is still viable and still being persecuted by enemy forces. So, for example, in Ukraine, they're using nerve agents or chemical agents like chloropicrin to basically clog up filters and move enemy forces out of their position. So our job really is to make sure that the rest of the wider army can operate within that environment, find safe routes for the army to move through, and if any civilians are involved, then be able to evacuate them.
It sounds like incredibly intense training that they're doing. Did they handle it well?
Yeah, B Company were really happy to take on this training. They're a unit that strives to do as much as possible while they're in the army. And they're quite proud of their history. They're the English senior line infantry, so they go back 500 years through their antecedent regiments. And I think they're always looking to prove themselves. And that's what I saw while they've been out here in Cyprus.
So, Will, what else have the Princess of Wales's Royal Regiment been up to whilst they've been in Cyprus for the last couple of years?
It's a fairly long deployment, 2 years living as part of the British forces, Cyprus. So they spend a year as the regional operations battalion, and they go out to anything that's needed operationally in the wider Middle East. Cyprus is at the crossroads of the Middle East, Europe, and North Africa. So it's a very busy place where it's nice and hot. So if you need to deploy a unit, it'll be one of the units like PWRR. But then in the second year, there's something called the Cyprus Ops Battalion. And what they do then is they do any of the guarding, any of the reacting to whatever happens within the sovereign base area or the Republic of Cyprus. So, for example, if there's a big fire in Cyprus, it's PWRR that will head out there. When a drone hit Arya Fakhtiri and the wider war was going on in the Middle East, it was 1st Battalion, the Princess of Wales' Royal Regiment, that helped evacuate RAF Akrotiri on the day after. So they've been very busy in the last couple of years, but now they're ready for a new challenge.
And do we know what those challenges are?
Yep. So right now they're doing a RIP, which is a relief in place, where they swap out with another battalion, something that they call Op Halifax, which is moving from one place to another. So they're packing down all of their messes, all of their equipment, the garrison, Episcopi, ready to make way for 1st Battalion, the Welsh Guards, to come in. And when PWRR return to the UK, they're heading back to their old stomping ground, Woolwich, in the southeast of London. They'll train for exercises in Germany and Kenya before a big deployment on Okrabrit in Estonia in late 2027. And that's when all of this CBRN training will be the most important. But they are leaving the sunshine, they are leaving Cyprus. And I spoke to Corporal Mark O'Bray about how the unit feels about going back to the UK.
I'm quite happy about it because we're going back to where we're obviously a southeastern based regiment. We're going back to Woolwich, so it'd be quite nice to be near family, be back in the UK, back home. My time in Cyprus has been good. I've just come back in January, so I haven't had the full 2 years out here, but I've thoroughly enjoyed my time in Cyprus. I love the island. However, I am looking forward to getting back in the UK.
What's your advice for the Welsh Guards who are taking over in Episcopi?
I would say to enjoy the downtime they get, embrace the island, embrace the culture, explore. Don't be stuck to this area. Explore the whole island and just really enjoy it because it's a beautiful island.
It's always bittersweet, isn't it, when you leave somewhere because you've created such nice memories. You may be saying goodbye to the sunshine, especially in a place like Cyprus, but then there is no better feeling than knowing that you're going to be going closer to home.
Yeah, going back to your family, the place where you're from, the temperatures you're used to. It's nice being in sunshine, but not for the whole of your life when you're used to the colder temperatures of the UK. Nobody wants to be on holiday for 2 years.
Exactly. And you know what? I felt a little bit like that when I was in like places like Brunei, where the heat just got too much sometimes. It just got too much. And I'm like, do you know what I would give for a nice like October afternoon? Just for a bit of cool and breeze in my face.
And a pork pie as well. That's what I miss whenever I... When I'm overseas, first thing I do is go for a pork pie.
Oh, I don't blame you there, my love. And where can we find out some more about this story?
Well, Forces News is everywhere. You can read the story on forcesnews.com, or you can get your quick fix by going to social media, YouTube, Facebook, X, and the big one, Instagram, for a quick hit about PWRR and CBRN training.
Oh, Will, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. Was it everything you wanted it to be and more?
I can't wait to come back.
Oh, that's what I like to hear. But what else is going on across BFBS? Well, the applications for the AI Skills for Military Partners are now open. It's free, it's flexible, and it's online training designed specifically for military partners. You can gain practical AI skills for job applications, personal admin, and life organisation. I could do with AI trying to organise my life. And you can study whenever it fits your schedule. bfbs.com/SMS to get involved. That's bfbs.com/SMS to get yourself involved. Well, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of Daily Dits. I've been Lauren Mitchell, and I'll see you tomorrow.